So last time we were just looking at, Paul was bringing them back to the early days of when he first went there and preached, and how it talks about how 13, how through infirmity of the flesh, he preached the gospel to them at the first. And the temptation that he had, which was in his flesh, they didn't despise, they didn't reject him, but they received him as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. It's just interesting. 2 Corinthians 5. See how Corinthians 5, verse 18. He says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit," it means I want you to know this, "that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you," it's like we beseech you, like please, "in Christ's stead," like we're standing here in Christ's stead, "be reconciled to God." And again, Paul was speaking to the church. So that church, they weren't ambassadors yet for Christ. They weren't ready to be ambassadors. So the ambassadors were like the apostles. They were the ones who were sent forth. They were the ones who had proven themselves through obedience, through faithfulness to the Lord. And then the Lord separated them and he sent them. And they would go in Christ's stead, because Christ isn't here anymore. Christ is in heaven. So the apostles would go as like representatives of Christ, ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And so this was an early church, and believing, and they're learning, but they're still kind of a mess. And he's going, "Looking, we're ambassadors. We're beseeching you, please be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. The way you guys are doing it, the way you guys are living, it's not right." Like, and so again, Paul, when he first went to the region of Galatia, went through the region of Galatia, different places there, he stopped and preached. When he first came, back Galatians 4:14, it says that they received him like an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus, which is good, because actually that's how you should receive it. A true man of God has been sent to you, you know? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, love this passage, it's wonderful. Verse 1, he says, "For yourselves, brethren, you know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." It wasn't worthless. "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." We weren't trying to trick you. We weren't like pretending to be something we weren't, but really unclean. He said, "No, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God." And he's just going on. In 11, verse 13, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are Christ Jesus. So, but you just see, like, their heart, Paul's heart and his spirit, when he was sent forth to bring this gospel, I mean, he was so humble and so meek and so, he was so stripped of pride or seeking glory for men, or none of that was even like, it was, you can't be an ambassador for Christ and have those things, you know? We can't be looking for our glory. We can't be looking for a following or something. So when he came, he's going, listen, God put us in trust with the gospel. So we took this thing really serious and we did it, not pleasing men, not trying to flatter or anything like that. But we were gentle. We cared for you. And we not only gave you the gospel, but we would have given our own souls to you, you know? And he says, when you guys, we just thank God that when we preached the word of God, you didn't take it as the word of men. You received it as it is in truth, the word of God. You know, and that's, Lord, help us to know when someone's preaching by the Spirit of God and bringing forth the words of God, even though that's a man, but God has chosen to use earthen vessels. He's chosen to place his glory in earthen vessels and to know. And so not to take it as like, oh, I'm going to like, you know, yeah, but that's just his. No, but like to drink it, receive it, and receive the blessing. And so that's how the Galatians were when Paul first came. They received him like an angel of God. They received him like Christ Jesus. And he's just going back in Galatians 4:15. He's going, where is then the blessedness you spake of? Where is it? I mean, you guys would have taken, you would have plucked out your own eyes at that time and given them to me. So again, Paul had some sort of problem with his eyes, and he calls it a temptation in his flesh. And again, I think it was a temptation to maybe quit or to maybe pull back. I don't think it was any kind of sinful thing. Obviously, that would have been sinful if God has said, keep pressing forward and you pull back. That is sin. But I'm saying, I don't think it was like some fleshy, lusty thing. I don't think it was anything like that. I think it was, but verse 16, you know, what a powerful scripture. Scripture is burned in my heart. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, and yeah, I think let's just understand up front. If you're going to speak the truth, not to please men, there are people that you will become their enemy. But it's not because you want to be their enemy. It's not because you're trying to be their enemy. In fact, look at Psalm 120. It's a great scripture. So you just got to be prepared for this. If the Lord's going to call you and send you, if he's going to deposit his spirit and his words in us, and we're going to speak on his behalf, we got to be prepared for this.
You can see the deception of people pleasing.
Yeah. That's huge. It's got to go. It's not godly. God doesn't speak to flatter people or please people. He speaks the truth. He speaks in righteousness because that's our only hope. Any sort of compromise or deviation from the truth or from the righteousness of God, it's a lie, and then there's no hope in it. And Psalm 120, David's crying out to the Lord, and he's talking about these deceitful tongues, these lying lips. Verse 2, deliver me, my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Now, he's not talking about his own. Now, obviously, that's where it first starts. If you're a liar and you're a deceiver, then first you pray, God, please deliver this tongue. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is, verse 5, he sojourns in Meshech. He dwells in the tents of Kedar. Verse 6, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. 7, I am for peace, but watch this, but when I speak, they are for war. Look at Romans 3 says, the way of peace they have not known. So the people who don't know Jesus Christ, are not submitted to Jesus Christ, are not walking in obedience to Christ, they don't know the way of peace. So their peace is a fake peace. And David's going, I'm for peace. Not fake peace. Not like, let's just pretend like everything. Like, I want peace with God. And I want you guys to have peace with God, and then we can have real peace with each other. Because I'm for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. They're just, why? Because he's not flattering them. He's not, because he's not, again, you know, it's the John, you can go there, John chapter 8. When you deny Jesus Christ, and whether it's an entire denial or whether it's just certain parts, you're just going to deny that. No, I don't believe that. And you're going to choose your own thoughts or ways. Then what you're doing is you're revealing that you're a liar. He says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? So when I'm denying the words of truth, I'm a liar. I actually prefer lies. And so when people speak truth, you actually hate it. You can't be both. It's either you're of truth or you're of a lie. John 8. And verse 39. They answered and said to them, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't do anything like this. You do the deeds of your father. So again, here's Jesus, sent directly from the Father, words directly from the Father, speaking absolute truth, and they hate him and want to kill him. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And this is one of the key fundamentals of being a Christian. When people want to make Jesus Christ as the only reason why he came into this world is to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven, and they don't know Jesus Christ. That's not the only reason why he came. That's a huge reason why he came. But another huge reason why he came is John 18, verse 37. John 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So Jesus didn't just come to die for sins, to die for sinners, so that sinners can be forgiven. Jesus came to speak the truth from heaven. And those who are of the truth will hear his voice. And those who aren't, they won't. And he becomes their enemy. Now, he loves his enemies and even laid down his life for his enemies, and he'll visit them multiple times in their life. I don't think God just gives one chance to somebody. I mean, he visits and he moves at the seasons of when we're being broken and he brings truth. Are you going to repent? Are you going to repent? Or are you going to keep resisting it? But we just got to be prepared. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me also before it hated you. Why did it hate Jesus? Again, John 7. Excuse me, Lord, help Christians who call on the name of Jesus and take the name of Jesus to get a fuller picture of who Jesus is and what it really is to follow him. Because a lot of people think, I think we should just be like Jesus. And what they mean by that usually is we should just be nice, just be friendly, just love people, and just be there to help them. That's not exactly how Jesus loved and served people. In John 7, we know his brethren are going, if you're doing all these great miracles, why don't you go to Jerusalem and do it publicly and show yourself, you know? Show yourself to the world. Nobody does these things in secret. Because again, the world's mindset is if I have a gift, if I have a talent, I want to go show it off so that I can be blessed for it. I can be paid for it. That's the world's way, exactly, so I can get glory. So that's why you see guys on the street and they're holding the microphone singing. And why is this guy singing on the street? He's trying to, You know, and his friends are holding the things for donations. He's trying to get himself out there. He's trying to find a way. But that's not how the Lord works. The Lord hides himself. And his brethren, they don't believe in him. That's why they think like that. So again, verse 6, Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you." Why? Because they're of the world. The world loves its own. He says, "But me it hateth." Why do they love? Why do they hate Jesus? Why does the world hate Jesus? "Because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil." So again, this idea of we should just be like Jesus and just preach the good news, but we don't. We don't preach against sin. We don't come against sin. And I've heard that, and I've been taught that. I was taught that for years. No, you just preach Jesus. You just preach. They need to believe in Jesus. They don't need to hear about sin. Well, that's not what Jesus did. If Jesus was just going, "You guys are awesome, and look, man, I just came to bless you, and here I am," they'd love him. Why do they hate him? Because he speaks the truth. He speaks the truth. Now, he's for peace. He's for the real peace that's going to last forever and ever and ever. Not fake temporary peace, the real peace. He's here to make peace between sinners and the Father. And by the way, he made peace by the blood of his cross. He didn't just come preaching truth. Again, like Paul said, we didn't just come preaching the gospel, but we would have imparted our own souls to you. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He didn't just preach the truth, but he laid down his life for people. But the point is, Paul says, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So just be prepared. That can happen. Be prepared. Now, sometimes people first they receive and then someone else comes in and kind of messes with their mind a little bit. And then you're trying to bring them back. And maybe at first there's a little bit of resistance, but press through. And some of those people, they'll come back to their senses, you know? And you got to just have faith in God. You can't get offended. Like, "Oh, I spoke the truth," and they got offended. Paul wasn't like that. Paul keeps pressing through. But he's going, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Like, remember, go back. Again, he's bringing them back, which is good. I think that's good sometimes. Go back to the beginning. That's what Jesus did with the church of Ephesus. You know, you left your first love. Remember where you're fallen from. Repent. Do the first works. Get back to those early days when it was sweet, when it was true, you know? So that's what Paul's doing here with the Galatians. A great example, we won't look at it. Oh, yeah, I'll just mention this. In Matthew 10:36, remember Jesus told his apostles, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now, he doesn't say you'll be hated by all men. It's a difference. You've got to understand the wording of the King James. You'll be hated of all men. So that means wherever you go, whatever nation you go to, whatever group you go to, whatever people you go to, you're going to be hated. Not by all of them, not by all men, of all men. So it's never going to be like you're going to go to a certain nation and they're all going to receive you and love you. Everywhere you go, there's going to be people who hate you if you're a true ambassador for Jesus Christ. So this, we got to lose this mindset like, "God's going to save South Africa. He's going to, the whole thing is going to be a revival and everybody's going to come to Christ." No, he's not. No. America's God's chosen nation. They're going to be purified and God's going to... No, they're not. God had one chosen nation of a physical people, and it was Israel, and they rejected him. He came to his own receiving him out. You think that the Gentile nations, there's any Gentile nation that's going to receive him entirely? It's ridiculous. No. Now, many have pretended to, you know, like Great Britain and Germany and... You know, there were many nations during the Middle Ages that pretended like they received Jesus and they made it a state religion and they formed a form of godliness that appeared to be something, but the whole nation didn't receive Jesus. And every once in a while, there were godly kings and godly queens who really loved the Lord and knew the Lord and ruled in justice. But there were always rebels in kingdoms. And most of the times, it was a front. It was a front of godliness. It wasn't the real thing. So, okay, back in Galatians 4. I just want to point out a couple things Okay, we looked at this verse last time, but we didn't have a lot of time to really dig into it. Verse 17. He says, they zealously affect you, but not well. And I just thought that was good. False preachers, false teachers can be very zealous. And they can affect you very much. But the end fruit is not wellness. They zealously affect you, but not well. So the Lord is the good shepherd. He wants to lead us to the green pastures and the still waters. He wants to restore our souls. So the true gospel is a gospel that brings wellness into our life. Wholeness, you know? Sometimes we have to go through seasons of sufferings and affliction and pain and all that stuff just to, you know, purge us of our pride and things like that that are hindering us from really yielding. But the true end fruit of true men of God is going to be wellness. Unless I pray, Lord, please let my ministry, let our ministry, let everything we do, let it lead to the real wholeness in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. I just want to pull up a couple scriptures. I'm just thinking of this now from Proverbs. So let's just pull these up. Psalm 67. Yeah, these are good. This is good. Psalm 67. Psalm 67. God be merciful to us, bless us, cause his face to shine upon us. Verse 2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. So again, that scripture you quoted last night, I love that. It just stirred my heart. Like, God wants to shine his face upon us in the face of Jesus Christ. That light that shone out of darkness, it was a shine in our hearts. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to restore the wounded souls. How can God shine in our lives and it not be healing, it not be well, you know, like hell, you know? So here, again, this is a prophetic. And this is prophetic of the gospel. He's going, that thy way, again, Christ says, I am the way. The way is Christ, that thy way may be known upon earth. Remember, they thought that was the problem with the pride of Israel. They thought it was just, the Messiah was just for them. But no, it was supposed to go through them to the entire earth. Thy way could be known on earth. And thy saving health. This is the gospel. The gospel is saving health. It's going to save your soul. It's going to save you. And even people who are living in just, you know, a lot of times sin and selfishness, it blinds you and it causes you to destroy yourself, your heart, your soul, and your body. And when Christ starts shining in you, how he begins to restore you, spirit, soul, body. Like, again, I don't believe in this pretty boy divine health, like if you walk in the fullness of spirit, nothing will ever touch you, there'll never be afflictions, you'll never suffer, there'll never be sickness. I don't believe in that, okay? That's nonsense. But I also don't believe in this. Some people think it's like a sign of spirituality, like the more sickness that's hitting your family. And yeah, it's like a fine line, you know? Like, there should be some health. There should be some healing. There should be some wholeness, some wellness. And again, we're not making the body the preeminent thing because the body's not the preeminent thing. We don't focus. It starts with the heart, goes to soul, goes to mind, goes to body. You know, it's going to work through us entirely. But again, look at Proverbs 3. But remember, the Corinthian church, they weren't walking in the truth of the gospel. They were corrupting and kind of like they're playing a spiritual game, but they're really living in sin. And you know what Paul said? He says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So people are dying in the church. People are sickly in the church. People are weak. They're always sick. That's not God's will. That's not how it's supposed to be. Like that's Proverbs 3. Again, in Proverbs 3, he's talking about don't forget his law. Let your heart keep my commandments. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now look, by the way, I know Jesus died when he was 33. But he rose 3 days later. He lives forever. There were many people who died in their 20s and 30s, burned at the stake or died for the Lord. But they went right to heaven. They lived forever. Okay, so we're not measuring this purely in an earthly way. Okay, the word is still true. But he says, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind it about your neck. Write it on the table of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. By the way, most people's problems, most people who have sickness problems or sickly or autoimmune diseases or these things that they can't figure out what the problem is, most of it's gut. Most of the time it's gut related. And if you could heal your gut, you'd see all those other things go away. Most of it. And he goes, listen, if you'll fear the Lord and depart from evil, it will be health to your navel, to your gut. God will heal your belly. And that's why Jesus said, if you drink from me and you believe on me, he didn't say from your heart, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. God wants to do this deep healing in us. Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, you know. You need strong, solid bones. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Amen. Come on, this is the words of the Lord. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. He didn't come to make us weak and sickly and wounded and no hope. Again, because of our pride, sometimes we have to go through that to get to the point where we'll finally yield to him and cry out to him and come to the end of ourselves. But that's not the gospel message. That's just sometimes God having to break people to bring them to repentance. Repentance is the starting point. It's not the end point. After repentance should come faith. It should come health and wellness, and you should drink in the word and love the word, and it should restore your soul, you know? Proverbs 12. This is good.
Can you look at 4:23?
Sure. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Which is why he's telling them, take my words and put them in your heart. Let them be in the midst of your heart. You know, write this stuff on the table of your heart, because whatever's in your heart flows to the rest of you. So if we got junk in our heart, that's why you keep being sickly, that's why you keep being depressed, that's why you keep being filled with fear, that's why you can't. Because there's junk in your heart. But if we get the junk out and we put God's life in there, his saving health, the gospel. Look at Proverbs 12. That's what I'm praying, Lord. I want all this junk out of me. All of it out. Verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So again, Paul came so humble, so gentle, laying himself down enduring his own afflictions to bring this gospel, and they loved him, they received him, they started well, they're walking in the Spirit, they're drinking in the word of life. That's the only way you can walk in the Spirit. You got to drink in the word first, and now the Spirit's in you, and you walk in it. And he's going, what happened? What happened? These guys came in acting like they were all tough and big and something, and yeah, they stirred you up, and they got you all fired up, and they zealously affected you, but it wasn't well. It didn't lead to any restoration. In fact, it just turned you away. It actually took you away from the one who loves you, Jesus Christ. It took you away from him. See, the tongue of the wise is health. And so, yes, sometimes when you speak the truth, it does hurt. Because when you speak the truth, you have to show forth righteousness. And so if someone's turned aside to sin, well, I can't encourage you in sin. So I have to correct you. I have to rebuke you. But if you'll hearken to that tongue of wisdom, it will be health to you. They zealously affect you, but not well. It didn't lead to wellness. Proverbs 13. It's good stuff. We'll just look at verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Now, what's interesting is that exact same verse. There's that exact same verse somewhere else in Proverbs, but it, instead of the law of the wise, it says the fear of the Lord. It's the exact same verse. So he's showing you the fear of the Lord is the law of the wise. The law of the wise, okay. But now watch this. Verse 17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, which, by the way, you better believe that's what happened to these men that came to the Galatian churches and corrupted them. You better believe those men fell into mischief. A wicked messenger shall fall into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Amen? I love it. Paul and them were faithful ambassadors for Christ, sent forth to represent Christ. Christ didn't come smiting people, hating people, destroying them. Yes, he spoke truth, and people who refused to repent hated him. But he wasn't hating them. He hated what they became. He hated their sin. But he was actually there to bring health. He was there to bring healing. He was there to bring restoration. The gospel brings healing and restoration with the living God. And again, the whole being. It's not just like, let's heal your body, but let's ignore the inner problems. That's not what Jesus was doing at all, okay? So Jesus is getting to the heart, because if I get the heart right, out of the heart flows the issues of life. And so I just wanted to point that. I thought that was... So let's real quick, back in Galatians 4, almost time's up, but so 17, he says, they zealously affect you, but not well, yea. Now here's the real thing, what's going on behind the scene. He says, yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. And that's one of the mark of false preachers and teachers. They come in appearing as if they care about you, appearing as if you're missing something and they got the secret key that you're missing. They're gonna, you know. But in the end, they don't care about you. They just want to pull you out into their sphere, under their wings, so that you can affect them, so that they can milk you. That's the real deal, okay? And we got to get this, and people got to see this once and for all. Go to 2 Peter 2. And so, Lord, please help us. So in verse 1, he's talking about, just like the false prophets, there were false prophets also among the people. And again, you read through the Old Testament, there's way more false prophets than true prophets. And he says, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So again, in the New Testament, it's not so much about that we need prophets, although, yeah, you know. But again, what we really need is we need teachers. But not just teachers. We need the right teachers with the right heart who are going to be like fathers and brothers and not just, you know, looking to make a name for themselves and a ministry for themselves. But he says, there's going to be false teachers among you. And they're going to bring in damnable heresies. They're going to even deny the Lord that bought them. They'll bring upon themselves swift destruction. Notice verse 2, and many, not some, many. Remember, wide is the gate, broad is the way, many there be. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Again, pernicious, it's like devious, it's like dubious, it's like you're plotting and just evil behind, you know, it's corrupt, it's twisted, it's like crafty and it's devious, you know. Follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. But notice, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, it's like fake, make merchandise of you. So, and then he says, their judgment now for a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. And he says, they're going to be damned, they're going to be judged. But what they do, again, what they do is they play on the desperate, they play on the needy, and through covetousness. So they appeal to what you need or what you lack. Let's say what you lack. I don't say what you need, but what you think you need, what you lack. And they appeal to that. And they pretend like they're coming in to bring that secret thing that you're missing. And they've got the key. And they're going to come, and it's going to play on your covetousness. But really, they're just making merchandise off of you. They're not there to serve you by love and bring health to you. They'll come in the name of health. They'll come in the name of healing. They'll use those things if that's what you need. But that's not really their end goal. Their end goal is to exclude you, to take you out of the way of righteousness into their ways so that they can make merchandise off of you, they can get rich off of you, so that they can milk you. And that's again, every false teacher, every false preacher, that's it. Now, some are after money and are money hungry, and they're gonna milk you for money. And that's why they preach money so much, and that's why they make it about money, and they run around on the stage trampling on money, and money, 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 because it's just, okay? Some aren't after money. Some are after power. And so they're going to make it about, I don't know what they'll make it about, but in the end is they want a little cult where they're like the God and King, and all the glory is going to them. But God forbid, Lord, let us never fall under such a trap or fall in such a pattern. Jesus Christ is the King, and let the glory be to Him. And so again, they zealously affect you, but not well. It's not leading to wellness. In fact, what they really want is they want to exclude you so that you can affect them. They want to milk you. They want to benefit off you. So Paul says in verse 18, but it's good. It's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. He's not against zeal, and he's not against being affected. But he's saying you need to be zealously affected in a good thing. And you know what? When it's a good thing, when it's the truth, then be zealous about it and let it affect you and let it stir your heart and let you and be passionate, be on fire. Again, we don't want this lukewarm. I hate this lukewarm Christianity. I'm fed up with people who just want to play cool. Jesus was not cool. Now, he wasn't some hothead running around in passion and going insane, you know, like, okay, so we got to find. But he obviously was on fire. And his words were like a consuming fire. And people either hated him or loved him or were afraid of him and fled from him. But there wasn't really a lot of in between, you know, like he wasn't just playing it cool. So, and Paul's going, it's good to be zealously affected in a good thing. And it's always good to be zealously affected, but only in a good thing. And again, he says, and not only when I'm present with you. This was the problem, was when Paul was there, they did well. As soon as Paul left, these other guys are bringing this other junk and they're being steered away. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So that's quite a statement. And I don't fully understand it, but it almost sounds like as if he planted the seed and it conceived and it started growing. But it's almost like the process was aborted by these guys. That literally this false gospel was something that came in and it's like it aborted the baby. It aborted the new birth almost. That's almost what it appears like. So he's going, I'm going to have to travail again in birth again until Christ be fully formed. So when Christ is fully formed, okay, now we got a fully formed life that can grow and be proud. But like, it's like, it's like I started this thing, the seed was planted, it was going, but then these guys came in and it, and now I gotta bring you back to the birth again, like back to the basics. So he says, I desire to be present with you now. And now notice, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So again, you see, Paul goes through many feelings and emotions. Sometimes he's hard. Sometimes he's like crying out. Sometimes he's going, please, I beseech you. And now he's changing his voice. He's going, I stand in doubt of you. 20, and tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? So he's not going, tell me, ye that desire. No, you see, his voice has changed. So again, it's like, gentle, he's hard, he's opening it up, he's opening his heart up, go back, remember. But now he's like, come on, are you guys kidding me? Like, really? You really want to be under the law? Tell me. Don't you guys hear the law? And then he's going to open up the allegory about Abraham and his two sons, which is a wonderful lesson, and we'll look at that next time, because this is important. It's important for Bible interpretation. Yeah, it's very important, this passage. It's going to open up a lot of the scriptures. But yeah, I think that's it. We'll wrap it up. Amen.